Message this morning, we're in the book of Luke. If you want to turn there, chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 in our Bibles. And I know this will be a blessing to you as we look at one of the great stories from the life of our Savior Jesus Christ. So Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 12. The Bible says, "And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger.' And he said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.'" So the title is "Returned to Give Glory." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege of assembling here together this morning around our Savior and pray, Lord, that you would now use your word in our hearts to grow us, to teach us. Lord, whatever the need might be, may the Holy Spirit apply it to each of our lives. And may we open our hearts and hear from you today and respond as the Holy Spirit would lead. But may you be glorified. May you guide us in your truth. May you be pleased with our time now as we focus on you. We love you. We pray all this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So as we know in scriptures, many times leprosy represents sin. And leprosy, of course, was a horrible disease, incurable. The people had to be separated. They had to live in leper colonies. That's still true today, by the way, that leprosy is still in certain parts of the world. It's a horrible disease. But it's always represented how horrible sin is. And here we have these 10 men. Obviously, they were together because they were all separated from everyone else, which they had to be. And so that's why it says they stood afar off there in verse 12. They weren't allowed to intermingle with everyone else because leprosy is also very contagious. And so these men were willing to acknowledge that they had a serious illness and that they were unclean. Matter of fact, in Jewish law, they even had to declare themselves unclean when they had leprosy. They had to say, "I'm unclean." They had to tell people, "Stay away from me, I'm unclean." And you know, as we walk through this passage, I want us to realize that leprosy pictures sin, and this is a picture of you and me before we were saved. And you can't get saved until you're lost. You know what I'm saying? You tell people the gospel of Jesus Christ. You tell them Jesus died on the cross for them and rose again, but you also tell them that we're all sinners and that we deserve to go to hell because of our sin. And until we're willing to admit that we're sinners and that we need saved from our sin, we can't be saved. Why do we need a Savior? Because we need rescued. And these men, they had no problem understanding that they needed help. They were lepers. They were outcasts. They were separated from everyone else. They knew they needed help, and if you're saved here today, you knew you needed help too, and you were willing to cry out to Jesus and ask for his help. And so the Bible says they lifted up their voices. They realized they needed help. They'd heard about Jesus. They'd heard about his miracles, and they were willing to ask for Jesus for help, and we did the same thing. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," in Romans 10:13. And they cried out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." If you're saved today, you did the same thing, didn't you? Let's go to Luke chapter 18 this time, just one chapter over. Look at verse 13, the story of the Pharisee and the publican. Most of us know this, but verse 13, "The publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.'" Now, you didn't pray necessarily those exact words, but you did ask God to show mercy. You did ask God to forgive you. You did ask God to save you. And these lepers said, "Jesus, Master, They were acknowledging the person of Jesus Christ. The word Jesus means Jehovah saves. And the word master, of course, means just that. They were willing to acknowledge that he was the master, that he was the Savior. And they said, please have mercy on us. And I hope that everyone in this room can say there's been a time in my life when I did the same. I acknowledged I was a sinner. I knew that I was going to hell. I knew that Jesus died and rose again for me as God in the flesh. And I asked him to save me and have mercy on me. And I hope you can say that's true. Verse 14, when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Nothing complicated. Jesus just said, go show yourself to the priests. And of course, Jesus being God, his spoken word has enough power to create a universe. Amen. So it's no big deal for him to heal 10 lepers, which he did with his spoken word. And all 10 of them were willing initially to say, yeah, we'll do what Jesus said. We'll go show ourselves to the priests. And imagine what it would be like to go from being a complete outcast and your flesh is being eaten away by this horrible disease to all of a sudden you're back to your flesh is back to completely normal again. I mean, that's a miracle. You want to talk about a miracle? People missing their fingers, missing their nose, and they're restored instantly. That's a miracle. And so as they're walking to obey Jesus and show themselves to the priests, their leprosy was gone and they were restored. Imagine what that would have been like. But we can imagine, can't we? Remember the day you were saved? What it was like to know I was on my way to hell. I was on the way to burn forever in hell, and now I'm going to heaven? Praise God. We know what it felt like the day we were saved. We went from children of hell to citizens of heaven. But these men went from outcasts to normal. They went from their bodies are literally eating themselves to their bodies are restored. And verse 15, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Now we know 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. If you're saved, God left you here for a reason, and that reason was to bring him glory. Through your life, through your actions, through your service, we're here to bring God glory. How sad that 10 lepers were healed, one bothered to come back and thank Jesus for what he did. It's actually quite mind-boggling when you think about it, isn't it? To be healed of leprosy and not even say thank you? But this was all to teach us a lesson, was it not? So he not only returned and glorified God, but the Bible says he fell down on his face at his feet. So they've already acknowledged Jesus as the Savior. They've already acknowledged him as the Master. Now he's acknowledging him as God. Because to fall down on his face at his feet, that means he's either committing blasphemy or Jesus was God. And by the way, Thomas did the same thing, did he not, after the resurrection? There in John chapter 20, he fell on his face and said, my Lord and my God, doubting Thomas. So he fell down on his face at the feet of Jesus Christ. That's complete submission right there. But those of us that are Christians, what's the Bible tell us? Let's go to Romans chapter 12 and see. Are we to be submissive? Absolutely. Romans chapter 12, most of us know verses 1 and 2, but we'll read them together. Look what it says. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's essentially what this leper was doing by falling on his face, showing complete submission. He was saying, thank you for what you've done. You are the master. You are God. The day you got saved, he became your Lord. We're to be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Look at the next verse. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We are here to serve the Lord. We are here because we are his. and he has healed us of our sin, of the consequences of our sin. We were dead in trespasses and sins, and now we have eternal life. Praise God. And we are in Christ, and we are justified, and we are redeemed, and we are sanctified, and we could go on all afternoon. All that God has done for us. And it says there in verse 16, giving him thanks. Do you know our Christian lives, turn to Hebrews 13, verse 5. Our Christian lives, 13, 15, sorry. Our Christian lives should essentially be a daily declaration of gratitude for what God has done for us. If you are born again this morning, it takes the rest of our Christian lives just to discover what God has done for us through Jesus. All the miraculous things he's done, all the things that he's given us. And the rest of our lives should be a big thank you for what he's done. Hebrews 13, 15. Look what it says. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Do you praise God every day for his salvation? You should. Do you thank God every day for what he's done for you and who he is? You should. We're here to bring glory to God. Go to Psalm 92, if you would, verse 1. I love this verse. Simple, but so true for us. Psalm 92, verse 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Psalm 92, 1. And to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And you know, we should be doing it not every day with our lips, but also with our lives. Go to Psalm 33 as well, verse 1, if you would. This leper was willing to come back and fall on his face. And it says he gave him thanks. Well, folks, if you're born again, God did more for you than healing you of leprosy. As great as that would have been as a miracle, you can be healed of leprosy and still go to hell. We have been saved from hell. We've been saved from the consequences of our sin and given everlasting life, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We should be praising God every day. Look at Psalm 33, verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord, all ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise is comely. I love that. In other words, it looks good on us. You know, when your wife says, does this dress look nice? You know what looks nice on a Christian? Praise. Praise is comely. And we are here to give praise to the Lord, to thank him for all that he's done for us. But you know, the story gets even more interesting if you go back there to Luke 17. In verse 16, the Bible says he was a Samaritan. We don't have time to go into all of it, but the Samaritans were hated by the Jews. The Jews would intentionally walk extra K's just to go around a town with Samaritans. They hated them that much. That's why they were so shocked in John chapter 4 when Jesus sat down at the well and started talking to that woman of Samaria who eventually got saved and told her whole village, and most of the village got saved. But the disciples were shocked. You're actually talking to a Samaritan? And later on, another Gentile woman came to Christ, and Jesus said, should I take the master's food and give it to the dogs, which is what the Jews referred to them as? They hated them because they were half Jews and half Gentiles. Hated them. And of all the 10 that got healed of their leprosy, the one that bothered to come back and say, thank you, was a Samaritan. I think there's a story in there. Because the Samaritan had no trouble acknowledging that they were disliked by the Jews, who are God's chosen people. And if you're here, I don't know of any Jews in this room, but if you're here and you're born again, you're a Gentile. and you get to get in on the program. Amen. This is a Jewish book. Jesus is a Jewish Messiah. The disciples were all Jewish. The prophets were all Jewish. He was a Samaritan. He didn't have any spiritual pride like the Jews did. He didn't think, oh, I'm going to get to go to heaven just because I'm a Jew. He knew. He knew he needed help. And yet, isn't it amazing how so many Christians live their lives as if God owes them something? This man knew he was unacceptable without God's help, and we should know the same. Verse 17, Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, where are the 9? What a question. Did they take it for granted? I don't know. Jesus doesn't say, but where are they? Why didn't they take the time out to come back and say thank you, like the Samaritan did? But do you know, this is what we look like when we won't serve God. When we won't praise the Lord. Look what he's done. He's saved us from hell. He's given us eternal life. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's promised us a mansion in heaven. And yet, sometimes we'll still say, but I don't want to serve you, Lord. I don't want to obey your commandments. And that's exactly, we look exactly like that when we, like this, these 9, when we won't serve the Lord. The Bible talks about it. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, if you would. But every day we need to stop and remember, God has saved me and I belong to Him. And my life today is His, and I am here to serve Him. Not myself, not the world, not sin. I'm here to serve Him. But sometimes Christians are like this person here in 2 Peter 1, 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. What a thing to forget. God purged me from my sins. God gave me a new life. God gave me everything. How could we forget? Well, because of sin and because the devil is after us and wants us to forget. I think, really, the 9 probably didn't come back because they didn't want to be indebted to Jesus. It wasn't that they didn't want to bother to say thank you. They didn't want to come back and fall down and acknowledge Him as the Master, as the Lord, like the one did, because then they become accountable, right? If they fall down and say, thank you, Lord, well, what does Lord mean? It means Master. He said Master. As soon as we acknowledge Jesus as the Lord, aren't we saying that He's in control? Aren't we saying that we need to obey Him if He's the Lord and we're the servant? That's why Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Why keep referring to me as the Master, as the Lord, but you won't obey? Obedience is, if you go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, obedience is the way that we show God that we love Him. 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 3 if you would. It's not a long list of ways. There's one way to say to Jesus, I love you. And by the way, it isn't coming to church and singing. Now, we should be doing that. We should be singing praises to the Lord. The Bible says every day we should be praising the Lord. But the way that we say I love you to Jesus is through obedience. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God. Notice it doesn't say one of the ways. It is this is the love of God that we what? Keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. Now, the world says it's other stuff. But no, obedience. That's the way we say, I love you, Jesus. And this man was willing to fall down and say, you're the Master. Submitting himself to what Jesus would tell him to do, which Jesus did give him some instructions, which he did follow. But if you're born again this morning, you've said, Jesus, you're my Master, you're my Lord. Well, Jesus has given you some instructions, has He not? They're written down. And the way that we say thank you, Lord, is by obeying those instructions. So I think really the nine didn't return because they didn't want to be accountable, which is really why the world says there's no God, isn't it? It's not because they don't know there's a God, because the Bible says God put within our hearts the knowledge that there is a creator there in Romans chapter 20, and everyone's without excuse. It's that as soon as people acknowledge that there's a God, then they have to acknowledge, well, if there is a God, then I'm going to have to answer to him someday, which makes me accountable for my behavior. So much better to say there isn't a God than I can do whatever I want. But how sad when a Christian has that attitude. I can do whatever I want. You can't. You have a master who did everything for you. So Jesus said, verse 18, there are not found that returned to give glory to God save this stranger. We'll take his gift of healing. We'll take his gift of eternal life. We'll take his daily blessings, his daily benefits, as we read in Psalm 103, verse 2. But will we obey? Will we serve? That's really what it comes down to. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. The others were outwardly cleansed of their leprosy, but only this one came back and worshipped Jesus and acknowledged him as the master. And therefore his faith made him whole. And it was your faith that made you whole. When you exercised faith in Jesus Christ, when you said he's the only way, when you said he is the Savior, you exercised your faith in him. And God made you whole. Amen? And you were cleansed. And you received eternal life. And many things that we haven't even gotten to enjoy yet that are already ours. Our inheritance in heaven. And we could go on and on. In exchange, shouldn't we be willing to say thank you every day? Through our life, not just our words. But through our behavior, we should be willing every day to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for being so good to me. And in return, I will serve you and give you my all. As Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, Luke 9:23, and take up his cross daily and follow me. That wasn't an option, by the way. That was a command from your master to follow Jesus. So only one returned to give glory. We need to every day return to give God glory for what he's done for us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for